Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Glory. This is awesome. So, I met a young lady when I was 4.5 years old. And mom and daddy brought her home. And, you know, I can still remember that. My mind is, I can remember things. I don't know. It's just amazing. But I remember you could almost put her in a shoebox. She was so little. She hasn't grown much since then. But she was gorgeous then. And she's gorgeous now. And God has laid his hand on her life throughout the years. And she married a wonderful man of God. And they have three wonderful children and grandchildren galore. And she just loves the Lord. And God gave her a talent and an anointing to minister in song and also in the Word as well. So we crossed paths not too long ago. We stay in touch anyway, but maybe not as much as we should. But I'm speaking of my sister, Deanne Mixon. Flint. Deanne Flint Mixon, I should say. That's the right way to say it. And so she's also got a wonderful friend here today, and she'll introduce her and say some more. But we're just going to ask her to come and take her liberty now and just minister as the Lord would have her. And hallelujah. Let's give them a great, big, warm welcome. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. So when Brock asked me to come and sing and share my heart, three times the Holy Spirit asked me to ask Megan. The last time was about an hour early in the morning, and I heard Megan. Ask her. She is also family, right? And our first cousin, Norma Jean, and Mr. Paget, this is their granddaughter, so she is our family, right? And Bronson, we love Bronson, which is her husband, and their two little children. They have really become dear and near to mine and Gerald's heart because not only of them being family, but it's very evident the call on both of their lives, which you will witness here in just a moment. You won't, if you have a chance to call talk to Bronson. He's getting up to take care of their beautiful little girl right now. He has an equal call on his life, but I enjoy Megan's, the presence of the Lord and her commitment to the Word and her love for the Lord. And I am just so thankful she's here this morning. And it was the Holy Spirit's idea, right? So enjoy. Thank you, Jesus.
My prayer this morning is that through worship, which I've already experienced, is that you get just a complete refreshing of encouragement and hope in your life, knowing that if you are walking through a really hard season, or if you're just like, you feel like you're in the middle of the storm, that your Father will provide for you through that, and you just have to surrender and cast your worries and your cares upon him, and he will take care of you.
The Father has a plan, though it's hard to see it now. You feel you're walking all alone, but he is there, no doubt. When the storm around you rages and you're tossed to and fro, when you're faced with life's decisions, not sure which way to go, stand still and let God move. Standing still tide is swiftly rising, and you wonder where he's been. Friend, there never was a moment that his arms weren't reaching out. You can rest assured and be secure. God is moving right now. Stand still and let God move. Stand.
Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still in the salvation of the Lord, which he'll accomplish for you today. You shall see again no more. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Therefore do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things.
And look at the sparrow, lacking for nothing. No fear of tomorrow and what it will bring. If I have you, I have enough, 'cause your love will satisfy.
Amen.
Sing, everything I need, everything I need. I know my Father has it, my Father has it. And every single time the Lord will provide. Treasures everything else, it will be added, all that I'm needed. Oh, I know the Lord will provide, 'cause I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. Oh, I know the Lord will provide. So seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else, it will be added. All that I'm needed. Oh, I know the Lord will provide. And I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. Oh, I know the Lord will provide. And everything I need, everything I need, I know my Father has it. My Father has it. And every single time the Lord will provide. I know my Father has it. My Father has it. Everything I need. Every single time the Lord will provide. I know my Father has it. My Father has it. So seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else it will be added. All that I'm needed. Oh, I know the Lord will provide. 'Cause I know my God's not empty-handed. 'Cause He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. Oh, I know the Lord will provide. I know the Lord will provide.
Praise you, Jesus. Yes, ordained of the Holy Spirit. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. What we pursue is His presence, right? We pursue His presence. In His presence, there's fullness of joy, and at His right hand, pleasures forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
When I walked through the door, I could sense His presence. And I knew this was the place where love on holy ground, and we are standing on holy ground.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And that's true as believers that we stand on holy ground every day of our life, wherever we walk, right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So Brock told me, share what's on your heart. So got just a few more minutes to share what is on my heart right before I sing, God Bless Your Name, right? And I'm going to sing Bless Your Name, because my niece Amber said, I need you to come sing God Bless Your Name, right? And that's great, because that seemed, that's Holy Spirit's idea too, Amber, right? She texted me one day and she said, hey, Aunt Dee Dee, did you see my testimony? I said, I did, honey. And it was fantastic. I watched the whole vision about the Jesus putting the sword of his word in our mouth. And I'm like, wow. so anointed. I said, I did see it. Did you see that I texted you about it? And she said, no, I didn't see that. But I need you to come sing, I Bless Your Name. I said, okay, I'll do that. Well, when he did Amber, that night, which I get a lot of downloads in my sleep, right? I think you do too. Yes. And so he began to just point by point go through that chapter of Acts 16, and but actually starting up in 15. And so he's got just a few things to say this morning, which are just blessed me and just wonderful. The story of Paul and Silas being in prison, which is a wonderful story of, and it's the song, I Bless Your Name. It began in Acts chapter 15, and Paul said to Barnabas, he said, hey, let's go check on the churches. Let's start checking on the churches. Let's just go. And, you know, when I began to meditate on that the Holy Spirit took me to that. And it wasn't really a mandate from God. It was Paul saying to Barnabas, let's move. Well, my mind went back to a teaching that I had listened to of Pastor Dave Roberson and on the voice of the Lord. And he said, just a little side note, you can't be led of the Holy Spirit unless you are moving, right? So, and that has just always stuck with me. Unless you're moving, you cannot be led of the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what Paul was doing. He was moving. And he began to move, and lo and behold, contention came. Have you ever been on the move with the Lord? Like, I'm going to go, I'm going to do things for the Lord, Father, whatever you have me to do. And all of a sudden, offense comes or contention comes, right? Happened to Paul, right? It happens to all of us, because the Word of God says it's impossible that offenses will not come. So it happened to Paul, and that's still in chapter 15. And so much so that him and Barnabas path, split ways. What I love, and that's a lesson to us, is he kept moving. So many of us get in that offense or contention comes and we're like, well, that's it. Anointing's gone. I can't go on from here, right? Not Paul. He's like, let's keep moving, which we should be to keep on moving. Not led of the Holy Spirit yet, but he was moving, right? He was moving in his anointing. He was moving on what God had called him to do, and that was to go to the churches. So he said, let's not stop doing that. Let's keep on moving. And obviously, I'm sure that he dealt with the contention. The Bible doesn't tell us that, but I'm sure that he did. Well, he chose Silas, and he went on as he was going, right? So he was moving. The enemy wanted to stop him from moving, right? He kept moving. As he was moving, you find in Acts chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit starts, right? Kind of like today. Hey, come sing. And the Holy Spirit says, I want to take over, right? I got something to say. And so as he was moving, the Holy Spirit starts telling him, I don't want you to go here. Don't go there. Yep. Nope. Don't go here. Right. I want you to go here. And then he gives him a vision of going to Macedonia, and there he would minister to a man. Another lesson, right? The lesson is so many of us would be on our, what we thought, mission. This is my call, right? I'm going to go check on the churches. Lord, I'm going to go do this. And when the Holy Spirit intervenes, stop what you're doing. Obey the Holy Spirit, right? So many of us, because I've done it before, well, let me finish this, right? I got to finish this over here. But the timing was the Holy Spirit saying, I need you to go to Macedonia now, not to those other churches, but now. I've got an appointed time for you, right? So it's so imperative for us to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And once you are moving, right, you might encounter some opposition, keep moving. But when the Holy Spirit starts leading, listening to him, like, I've got a mandate now, right? Yes. So thank you, Jesus. We find when they get there, right, he starts ministering and they start talking. And all of a sudden, you know, this lady comes in that she needs deliverance. So Paul and Silas ministered deliverance to her, a demoniac, and she was making somebody a lot of money with her, you know, palm reading or whatever it might be. And he didn't like it. So he called them in the town square and had them beaten, arrested, thrown into prison, right? So there, the lady, which is this is so good, the Holy Spirit. Listen, when God gives you a mandate, and you know exactly what his purpose for you is, and he said, I want you to go here and I want you to accomplish this. Paul and Silas could have said, listen, we had a meeting, turned out real well. This woman got delivered, right? Some people heard the message. That must have been what it, let's move on. That was not what God called them for, right? Sometimes we can be on our way and we can say, well, maybe, you know, maybe that was it. Maybe that was what the Lord wanted me to do. That wasn't what he called you there for. While you were on the way, while you were moving, the Holy Spirit led you there. You ministered and some people were set free. But don't get your mind off of exactly what he has called you to. Exactly. Because that's what he needs you to accomplish, right? He needs you to accomplish that and no less, right? Don't start saying, well, maybe that was good enough. Maybe the deliverance of that woman was good enough. That was good, but that wasn't what God called you to, right? So contend for exactly what God called you to do, right? So they were thrown into prison, and the Holy Spirit really downloaded a lot of revelation to me that I had shared with Brock and Candy the other day, but I'm not going in. And so I would encourage you to read that and let the Holy Spirit in that chapter. Is just so good. There's so much in there. But the last point that the Holy Spirit wanted me to get over this morning was when Paul and Silas were there, the Bible says that they began to pray. They didn't just begin to sing. We talk a lot about them singing, but they prayed first. And it said that the prisoners heard, right? So, you know, later he would write in Philippians to make your request known and then get your mind on these things, right? So he prayed first, made his request known. I'm sure, I'm not positive what he prayed because the Bible doesn't tell us, but I'm sure it's something like this. Silas, oh, I know we've been beaten, and I know our feet are locked up and we can't move anymore, right? But we're here and God called us to this place. So Heavenly Father, do what only you can do, and we're going to praise your name, right? When I'm at the house, there's a song that comes to me. It's Ron Canole. Do you remember him? Lord, I praise you with everything in me. Lord, I praise you, and with honor I will sing that you alone are holy. You alone are worthy. You alone, alone deserve my praise. Only you alone. It seems to change the atmosphere every time. It just flows out of me every time. I'm sure something like that was going on, right? Because they couldn't move, their feet were bound, but their praise was not in prison, right? And so they turned their attention to the one, right, that called them there, and they knew that the mission wasn't over. A few years back, I was in my living room and doing some work around the house, and I reached down, and I was moving a pot, and I hurt myself to the point where I fell immediately, and it was such excruciating pain. I could not move. And I mean, I could not move. I inched my way like an inchworm, really, is the best way I can tell you, over to the couch where my phone was, and I called a friend and I said, I cannot move. She said, I'm coming. I said, the doors are locked. I can't get to the door. She said, I'll get in. And so I called Gerald, and he was, I think, in Naples. I said, honey, something is really wrong, and I'm in excruciating pain. I can't hardly breathe. So I was laying flat on my living room floor and on my back, and we called a chiropractor there in town, and she came and examined me, and she said, either you have separated a rib or even broken a bone in your back, the best of my knowledge, after examining me. But I won't know everything. You need to go to the hospital. I could barely get my words out, just like that. We must have been in that living room for, I don't know, about 4 or 5 hours, I know. And we prayed, just laid there. My husband, a friend of mine, and myself. And my mind went to a testimony that I had seen on Facebook of Pastor Tony Suarez. I don't know if any of y'all know who he is, but he preaches the Holy Spirit and the move of the Holy Spirit. And I had seen him pray over a young man. The young man, I said to my friend there, I said, have you seen this testimony? I'd watched it over and over. She said, no. And I said to Gerald, I said, turn my computer on and turn on that testimony, right? And I'm not thinking anything of it, except for I just wanted her to look at that testimony, change the atmosphere, right? And my heart was on it. And this young man was crippled and on crutches, and he walked up in Tony Suarez's meetings. And he walked up, and he had been preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the young man walked up, and he said, young man, what can I do for you? And he said, do you want to be healed? And the young man said, no, sir. I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when he did, the pastor, Tony Suarez, prayed for him, and he received the baptism, and he threw off his crutches, and he began to run around the building, and Tony Suarez began to run around with him, right? So, wonderful testimony. Well, while I'm listening to that testimony, I'm on the floor in excruciating pain. I began to lift both hands. I wasn't able to do that before. My friend and Gerald were completely quiet. I lifted both hands in honor to the King. My heart got so blessed on what he was doing, right? For that, what he did for that young man. And you know, we can get bogged down. Paul and Silas, they could have said, we're bleeding. We're in chains. You called us here. I'm hurting, right? But they turned their attention and their focus to the One and praised him. You know, I was going to tell Harry, why don't you, if I could request one song, sing Because of Who You Are, I Give You Glory. And the Holy Spirit did it anyway, right? This morning. Because that's why we give him praise. We focus on him. When we tend to focus on the problem, and we focus on the hurt, and we focus on the aches and the pains and what he hasn't provided. And that old question, why haven't you done it yet, is a really not good question, right? Because it implies that what he promised he will not do, but the Bible says what he promised he will do, right? So you turn your focus on him, which is exactly what Paul and Silas did. That's what I did that afternoon. And I began to worship the Lord just for who he is and what he had done, right? And like a hydraulic lift, my body lifted up off the ground, and I wasn't even looking over at Gerald very much. I did catch his eye, and they were like, because they had seen that I couldn't move. He had tried to help me move, and I couldn't. Came up off the floor, and then I stood up and began to walk around the room praising the Lord, right? The chains were gone, right? The chains were gone. So just the last point, right, is the battlefield in your mind sometimes that you're in there. Begin to praise the Lord for who He is. Get your mind on the One. Get your mind on the One, not what's going on in your life, but the One that can make the change. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to sing, I Bless Your Name. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you for the worship this morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your worship this morning. Thank you for your worship.
In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night.
Jesus. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Worship. Mama always sang in the house. Always sang. Then it got on me and Deanne, and we traveled for years and sang, and hallelujah. I don't sing like I should anymore because Mostly I'm preaching, but it's so good to have Deanne come here and remind me of our roots. And more than anything, the anointing. The anointing. Once again, we give you glory. You just slip those hands up, even about half mask. Glorify you, Jesus. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name, Jesus. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, glorify you. Hallelujah. Well, how do you follow that? You don't. You just continue to bless him. Hallelujah. Well, we'll dismiss our kids in just a moment. If you have something to bring this morning, there's something up here to receive that, or there's an offering box in the back. He's already moved. And we're not going to go any longer than we normally do. Just, you know, Pastor Dave said some preachers, their mouth moves so much that you have to kill it with a stick 30 minutes after service. They think they've got to say something. And I don't believe that at all, that I have to say any much more. But I do believe there's one thing that he would add to this. And we'll do that after the... let's all stand. If you have something to bring, our kids can be dismissed. It'll be a short time. Hallelujah. But if you have something to bring, go ahead and bring it down. And Harry, if you can give us some music. All right. If you need to say hello to somebody next to you, once again, say hello. And hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glorify you. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You can be seated. You don't have to continue to stand. Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
for this outpouring. We contend for it. We know this, that the greatest revival that this world has ever seen has already begun. The harvest, over a billion soul harvest, has begun in the earth. We're watching it as it touches the campuses of the Gen Zs, across the nation, to every place. That'll open up to this, call on you and fast and pray and seek your face. There is a presence that will come and bring forth a harvest. We contend for this, Lord. We do bless your name. As trials and tribulations come to inhibit, impede, to try to stop, you're there with us. Lord, this will be the Joshua generation that we'll possess, that we'll bring forth. Go into the promised land. We glorify you. Joel's army is at, it's at marching forward. Your army, your church, your end time harvest church. Father, we give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it is. Mine's pretty simple. You know, the last great while now on Sundays, I haven't really even had notes, just listening to the Holy Spirit, letting Him direct me. But every once in a while, He'll have. We've been teaching a series on Wednesday night on 2 Timothy, and there I'll have notes. Then I talked. The Lord had me teach some very difficult chapters in the book of Romans, Romans 9, 10, 11, which are some of the most misunderstood chapters on predestination and those kinds of things. We just finished that up this past Sunday night, so that was a line-on-line teaching, but we've not been doing that so much on Sunday morning. But He said, I want you to read your letter, and I believe that it's pertinent to everything that we've heard this morning about standing against different things and blessing His name through the trial, the tribulation. If you're not signed up for our letters, you can afford them, as Gary says. They're free. You just have to write in and say, please put me on your mailing list, and just go to our website, and you'll go to the place where it says prayer request. Send us in. You can send us a message, and you'll get one every month. Hallelujah. Agree with me. Father, we worship you. We glorify you and praise you because we're destined for this time. Every service is scripted by the Holy Spirit. It's what you want going forward for the purpose of this outpouring. Even those that are watching, Lord, our purposes are not ours. Our direction is not ours. We're yielding to something and someone far greater than ourselves. We give you all the glory. We praise you that you're preparing us for this. We thank you for it. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Should have it in your inbox yesterday. And a lot of times you say, well, I've got this. Well, a lot of times people don't read them. And then sometimes, not every month will he have me actually read the same thing that you got. But a lot of times people don't get these. Hallelujah. This one, this month, is entitled, It Is Written. It Is Written. And I'm going to have to put these on just for a little bit until I'm completely healed. Hallelujah. How many of you brought your Bible this morning? I hope you did. I won't. You can turn to Luke chapter 4, verse 1. You want to follow along for a little bit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Congratulations to Junior, who was recently married. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come up and let me know, and I appreciate that. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. The gospel of, I'm just going to have to read most of this. I'll comment as I hear, but if I don't, I don't want to go past unless he tells me to. The Gospel of St. Luke records this episode in the life of Jesus. And we're looking at verse 1 through verse 13. And I'll just read it and then we'll get into some commentary. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." Well, I'll just part right there and say this. He had just left Jordan and had been baptized of John. And the word says that John saw the Spirit descending like a dove, and that a voice, an actual voice from heaven, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Well, what's the first thing that the enemy does right after this pronouncement that he begins to question? And in verse 4 it says, "And Jesus answered him and saying, It is written." Can you say that with me? It is written. "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil taketh him up into a high mountain and showed unto him all the kingdoms of this world in a moment's time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering and said unto him, It is said," which is the same, of course, as "it is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season." The above verses give us a brief description of what is commonly referred to as the three great temptations of Christ. But it's a gross misinterpretation to believe that these specific temptations totally define the full essence of what Jesus faced in the 40 days of fasting and prayer. Some may think that whatever these temptations were, they came at the end of the 40 days. But verse 2 tells us something different. Verse 2 says this, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, when they were ended, and afterwards was hungry or hungered. Notice what it says. Being 40 days tempted of the devil. So we are to understand that from the very first day of the 40 days until the end, Jesus was under a continual spiritual barrage of demonic warfare. And this was not just any random demon. This was Satan himself. There are many interesting observations to make here concerning this passage, but this is certainly not an exhaustive list, but we're going to look at a list just for a little bit. We're not going to keep you longer than normal. Here are some of those observations. Luke 4:1-2 says this, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered." One, Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost after his baptism in Jordan by John. Two, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to face the devil. God was not the one who would bring the spiritual warfare. I hope you understand that. He's not the one behind what you're going through. But he also knew that if his son was going to overcome in his earthly ministry, he had to face his adversary and overcome him from the very beginning. It was as if God picked a fight with the devil just to show him who had come to reign over him. Hallelujah. He'll do that sometimes. The book of Job is that. God didn't do that to Job, but God picked a fight. Hallelujah. The first temptation, Luke 4:3-4. "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written." Can you say that with me? It is written. "That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Satan questioned the validity of Jesus being the Son of God, hoping to sow doubt in his mind of Christ, doubt in the mind of Christ about who he really was. Every son or daughter of God who is going forward in this outpouring of revival will at some point face the devil and hear him say, "You are not who you think you are." The devil wanted Jesus to try to prove himself through performing a miracle and turning stones into bread. Never, never get badgered into trying to prove yourself to the devil through anything that you can perform, either in the supernatural or the natural. Jesus' response was, "It is written." He proceeded to simply quote the Old Testament scripture of what had been written from the mouth of God. And here's that scripture. This is amazing. Most people don't even know. You know, we'll read those and we'll say, "Jesus said, it is written." Well, where was it written? Deuteronomy 8:3 says this, And he humbled thee. This is the one of the five books of the writings of Moses, the last one, the book of Deuteronomy. "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee known, know the man, that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live." The next temptation, Luke 4:5-8. "And the devil taketh him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Satan offered Jesus, this is what he offered him, a false power to rule the kingdoms of this world. But Jesus knew this, that his Father had given him the true and living power to one day declare this. In Matthew 28:18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Hallelujah. Once again, Jesus would not retaliate with reasoning with the devil, trying to explain to him that because of his death, burial, and resurrection, all of this would be given to him in the end of the future by his heavenly Father. Remember that your victory through whatever you're walking through right now does not depend on human reasoning, but always the Word of God. We recently had a short prophecy here among many prophecies, but this one was a snippet in that sense of the word. It was on November 9th, 2025. It's in our prophecy section. The Lord said, you cannot reason this out. You must stand upon my word and say, says the Spirit of grace, heaven and earth will pass, and all things will come and go in your life, but stand on my presence, on the presence of my word, when my presence, I like this, but stand on the presence of my word when my presence and spirit seems to be void. You didn't get that. Say it louder. Maybe that makes it stronger. But stand on the presence of my word when my presence and spirit seems to be void. Hallelujah. Because sometimes, sometimes you're going to lift those hands and glory comes. And sometimes you're going to lift those hands and it feels like, my God, where did you go? Dave said when he started into worship, private worship, he said they taught, you know, the books were like worship in spirit and truth. He said they, you know, the books he read was that you got into this, when you got into the spirit and you could feel him, now you're worshiping in spirit. But he began to teach us line on that, that was absolutely not true. Really, the opposite is true. When you don't feel him and you begin to lift those hands and magnify him and say, Father, I don't care. He said sometimes in the midst of the storm when he really was trying to break in, he said he'd say, I love you. And it was like taking a spatula. I love you. And he'd throw it up and it'd come right back down. There was no anointing in it. Listen, to get to where we're going, the greatest thing in your life, for your healing, for your recovery, for the outpouring of this, is when you do feel him, worship him. And when you don't feel him, worship him. When you can't see the answer, you keep saying, it is written. 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 And I probably have it here in my notes, but when he came and he said, fall down and worship me. Pastor Dave used to say this, that we have no idea what those 40 days and 40 nights were like. We get a kind of a abbreviated snippet of what kind of, but for 40 days, there was an intense warfare against the emotions and the mind of Christ, to the point that most people in this world, you'll never know what he faced. But when he said, fall down and worship me, it wasn't like a blatant, like, you know, we stand on this side of in Christ and we stand in his glory and his presence, and that's ridiculous. Who's gonna fall down and worship you? But you got to know this, that when he was in that test, that there was an atmosphere around him that was beyond human words to describe. And when the enemy is saying, fall down and worship me, and I'll give you all this. You don't have to go through Gethsemane. You don't have to go through the cross. I'll make you the ruler. I'll make you the ruler. It was a falsehood. But again, and listen, boy, I've even got it in my notes here in this letter, how powerful worship is. But you got to look here. What did he use? What did your prototype use? He didn't say, I'm going to prove to you something. I'm going to stand here and worship my Father and show you that I'm not going to worship you. I'm going to worship him. He didn't even try to prove or fight the battle at that moment in time through worship. Once again, he looked him right in the face and said, it is written. There's a moment for worship. But the foundation that our Lord and prototype laid out was you better get on the Word. Hallelujah. I started into this. You cannot reason this out. You must stand upon my word, says the Spirit of grace. Heaven and earth will pass, and all things will come and go in your life, but stand on the presence of my word. When my presence and spirit seems void, stay in the place of faith. Determine that my word and my word alone will bring you to the other side, says the Spirit of grace. 8. Jesus would not be moved off the word of God with the attack, with this attack or the first one. Neither did he stop and lift his hands and begin to worship God to prove his continual alliance with the Father. Believe me, worship is one of the most powerful tools that we possess, and it's also a very strong deterrent against spiritual warfare. But there are times when it is written is the only recourse for the moment. Come on, somebody. I wish I had Callie Pearl here. She'd say, "Say it, Pastor." Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And once again, we ask, where was it written? And here's that scripture. Again, it's amazing. All of these scriptures were in Deuteronomy. Thou shalt, Deuteronomy 6:13, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. The next temptation, Luke 4. 9 through 11. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written. Now he switches. He switches. The enemy switches. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. The devil switches his tactics here. He realizes that he's getting nowhere with reasonings and accusations. So he tries to actually use the word of God against Jesus by perverting the context in which it was written. When the psalmist wrote these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit concerning the angels of God, the context is that if by chance you needed angelic intervention because of an accident, persecution, or some attack from the devil, they would be there to keep us. But it has no evidence of a context that we are to make something happen just to see if angels will show up. Psalms 91, 11, 12 says, and this was the context that the enemy was trying to pervert, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Once again, 10, what, this is the 10th point here. Jesus would do nothing but quote the written word of God. Luke 4, 12 says, and Jesus answering and said unto him, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When Jesus said, it is said, it's the same as it is written. And where was it written? I'll give you the place. Deuteronomy 6:16. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massa. I find it incredibly interesting that Jesus uses three passages from the book of Deuteronomy to destroy the onslaught of Satan during his temptation in this season. I also find it fascinating that so much of the modern church has marginalized and almost disrespected Old Testament scripture as if it had no relevance for today. And yet Jesus uses one of the books of the law that some people may consider boring. In Deuteronomy, Moses is referring, rehearsing the law in preparation for Israel's entrance into the promised land. And the word Deuteronomy means the second law. It's a rehearsal. He's going back over everything that he'd said. And can be seen as a re-emphasis by Moses to Israel to not forget what God has said. I've said before, I said, you want a sleeping pill? You can't get to sleep? Go into Numbers and Deuteronomy. Just start reading. And yet, here's the thing. What seems least to us, every word of God contains dunamis power. Every word will fail him, fail the enemy. Every word that you can speak in faith brings forth destruction. Hallelujah. Jesus reached back into some of what we would say was, oh, those are real boring books. Those are the real, seem like real benign. And Jesus took those scriptures and beat the pants off the devil. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'm preaching. Somewhat to myself. But they said in the book of Revelation, you know, one angel, they don't describe him, they don't give his name. It's not Michael, it's not Gabriel. Just one angel comes down, puts him in chains, and locks him up for 1,000 years. A millennial reign, and puts him in a bottomless pit. But what's more fascinating than that is that the nations, in some sense of the word, I don't know how it happens because, you know, he's off the planet then, but they'll walk by and narrowly. Do you know what narrowly looks like? Narrowly means, it says they'll narrowly look upon him. Narrowly is like when you look at something and say it has no significance. It's not a focal point. It's not really. And they'll say this, and then they put him in human personification. They'll say, was this the man? Was this the being that caused all the trouble? Why? Because in the presence of God, everything looks so minute. So minute. Hallelujah. Luke 4:13 says, and when the devil had ended all of the temptations, he departed from him for a season. It's important to note that these 40 days of temptation were not the last that Jesus would ever see of Satan. The Bible says that he departed from him for a season. The word is kairos in the Greek, and it can mean this, a more opportune time or a right time. Thus, we are to understand that Jesus fought many more battles with the devil throughout his lifetime. But why would we think that he would choose any other foundational recourse in the future against the devil except, say it with me, it is written? We're entering into the greatest outpouring of God's Spirit that this planet has ever seen, and because of it, there are many times the enemy will try to stop the advancements of you conquering and winning for your assignment. But you can choose the same conquering force that Jesus used against Satan. It is written. To do this, and it's very important, to listen, to do this, it's very important that you know what has been written. Come on, I didn't get enough amens. The Word of God. It is vital to read and meditate the Word of God. There's no substitute for your personal reading and meditation of the Word of God. No preacher, listen to me, no preacher can do this for you. No preacher. You can't, listening to a preacher doesn't substitute that. This canon of Scripture was given to you for you. As Dave said, Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper. Well, I thought the preacher was supposed to. No, no, no. It's given to you. You. The Holy Spirit will come to you. He won't come to me any faster than He will you. If you're born again. His son or daughter. There's no substitute for your personal reading and meditation of the Word of God. No preacher can do this for you. Part of the revival is going to be a resurgence of the importance of people reading their Bibles. Just sitting down and reading their Bibles. Well, I listened to so-and-so, or we watched so-and-so. No, did you read your, have you read your Bible? Hallelujah. I know you're just listening. Well, let me say a few things, because we've got just a few minutes and we're going to be out of here by noon. Hallelujah. Unless you want to fast and pray this the rest of the afternoon. I said, don't even tease. Once again, verse 2 said this, being 40 days tempted of the devil, in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. The word tempted here is more than just like a moral temptation, like, okay, he was tempted to sin. The Bible says that in all points he was tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. He was God, absolutely, in the flesh. But as we studied Scripture and as we've taught on here, line on line, precept on precept, he did not do anything out of, he did not overcome out of his deity. If he came here and lived out of his deity, yes, he's God in there. He's God. But an incredible, incredible way that only he could do, he made an agreement with himself. When I get there, yeah, I'll be God in the flesh. But I'll overcome as a man. I'll overcome as a man born from above. See, you and I, we got our born again spirit when we received Christ. We weren't born into this world born again with the life and nature of God. There had to be some point in your life that you received the invitation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says you became a new creation. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You can't not join a church and get there. You must be born into this family, the family of God. Well, Jesus, though, when he was born, he wasn't born of natural birth, although he was born of Mary, but through a supernatural process, he was born with a righteous spirit. But he walked and faced everything. The Bible says he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Without sin. He said, well, no, he's God. And so, listen, if he overcame as God, then what argument do we have? Well, no, you were God. You could do that. No, no. The Bible says by man came the fall. And by man comes, that's Christ. The resurrection out of that fall. God had to put another, he had to bring the last Adam. He's not the second Adam. He's the last Adam into the earth. And that last Adam had to face the same temptations that the first Adam fought and lost. But the second Adam did not lose. Hallelujah. He stared him down. Came into this garden and stared him down. All points tempted like as well. You don't know. No. The word says that we have a high priest. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of trouble. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Hallelujah. So, well, he don't know. Oh, yeah, he does. Every impression that you've ever had, everything that's ever come at you. I said, no, he was too, listen, he was a man. He would see things and the young ladies, all those things, every impression, every feeling, every kinds of thing that could come. But in this, he overcame. But he didn't overcome like as God. God was in there, but God just kind of stepped back and said, you're the last Adam. I made an agreement with myself before I came here. You'll overcome. Hallelujah. Because any time that I'm under a battle, I can come to him and say, you overcome, I can overcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We did a series about this path has been road tested. You know, your tires are road tested, so they'll sell them to you. This will run 100,000. This will run all the way through your life. Hallelujah. It's been road tested. The second Adam came and tested it and said, this spirit that I'll give to you, the Spirit of Christ, it's been road tested. Go all the way. It'll go all the way. So I was going to read you a Thayer's definition, but I'll shorten that up just to let you know that this test that he was going through wasn't just in the sense of the moral, like moral things, like this is testing me. But this word test can mean test, trial. Those things come that have come. Not to test you just in temptation, like, but all of the things that could come against you, as in reasonings, temptations. My question as we close this morning is, are you going through your temptation? Well, maybe I'll do just a little bit of the Thayer's because it's so good. Perozo is that's probably not the right way to say it. But in a good sense, it's to try whether a thing can be done, to attempt, endeavor, to try to make, a trial, a test, for the purpose of asserting its quality, his quality, or to think, or what he thinks, or how he will behave of himself. But in a bad sense, which is contained in the same definition, it's to test one maliciously. This is what Christ was going through, was being tested maliciously, crafty, to put to proof his feelings or his judgments, to try or to test one's faith, virtue, character by enticement into sin, or to solicit someone to tempt or to sin or to be tempted. Now, this is the question I just started to ask. Are you going through, and I'm not going to ask a raising hand, that you have to ask yourself this. Are you going through your specific trial right now, whatever it is, and it may be more than one, or it may be a culmination of a number of different things, but are you going through your specific temptation, test, or trial wordless, naked from continual divine intervention? You're still his child. You're still his daughter. But are you going through this with the word, or just hoping that by God's sovereign grace, he'll bring you through? When you know something, you got to do it. It is written. It is written. It is written. Are you employing it is written scriptures necessary for change? Psalms 103, verse 20 and 20 through 22 says this. You don't have to turn there. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commands, hearkening to the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works and places of his dominion. Bless the Lord. Right back at verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commands, hearkening to the voice of his word. I'm going to copy Gary Carpenter for just a moment. It's a great illustration. I can't improve on it. Take your Bible if you have it. This is not exposed to expose those that don't. But if you have your smart device and your Bible's in there, put it up to your ear. Listen. What do you hear? Nothing. What does the Word say? The Word doesn't say that the angels hearkened to his word. What? It does too, Pastor. Verse 20 says, the angels hearkened to the voice of his word. You can even have his word in you, and it's not working unless you give it voice. Then you activate the angels. Once you begin to speak his word, this word does not speak itself. You can't hear anything, but the voice of this word is you speaking his word. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. Going throughout the day, it's written. It's written. It's written. I'm going to come through this. Hallelujah. We use the word kairos. It's a season or more of an opportune time. Luke 4:13 says, and when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. It is established, it's estimated that Jesus referred to the Psalms at least 11 times during his earthly ministry through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That he referred to, we just know that he was a man that continually stayed conscious, cognizantly thoughtful of it is written. What do you suppose that Jesus spoke or prayed out loud in those other kairos or kairos seasons of his life when Satan would return and he came back many times? What about those all-night prayer meetings that Jesus would have? Do you suppose that he went out when he would go out and pray and spend all night speaking the word? That's what he would pray. Speaking the Psalms. I definitely believe this. The very thing that you must conclude is this. And here's what you got to conclude. I will not be a victim. I won't be a victim of whatever's come at me. I won't be a victim of the disease. I won't be a victim of the injury. I won't be a victim of the circumstances. Well, they hurt me. You are not a victim. Yes, they may have hurt you, but you're not a victim. Why? Because it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. The devil will close up your world and make your world a small thing when God wants to use you and bring you forth. But as long as you believe that somebody has the power over you, or some circumstances, or some or even the things that are coming against you, you have to live outside of yourself and say, I will do what my prototype did. I will stand on the word of God. I won't focus on the trial. I'll focus on him, and I will say, it is written. I will not be a victim. There's no such thing as a victim in Christ. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? Lift your hands and magnify him. Wow. It's dead on 12. Praise God. Holy Spirit says, okay. Father, we just worship you right now. No victimization, Lord. Nothing. Because it is written. We worship you and we praise you. We glorify you and magnify you and glorify you on this present time in our life. We thank you, Lord. The church won't be stopped. You'll have your revival. The kingdom of God will come. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Would you just lift your hands one more time and say, Father, I thank you for your eternal word. It is written. And my victory is in your word. And I give you glory and praise for it. In Jesus' name. Now let me give you some practical. Listen. You don't need to have. You say, well, I don't know. Maybe I don't know the scripture like you. I don't know. Maybe you do. But you don't need. Somebody say, well, I need to read a book, or I need to read. Or listen, I'm not against preachers. I'm one of them. But you know what? Your victory is not contained in multiplicity. Somebody said, well, more the better. No. More is not the better. More of the anointing is better. You just get two or three scriptures that describe your circumstances. Walk the floor. Say it's written. Go through the day. Go through the day. And don't let it have a shelf life. If you've got a shelf life and say, well, I've been doing this now for 2 days and I don't see any difference. Kenneth Hagin said, when you get ready to stand forever, the victory's right around the corner. If you put something on a shelf life and say, well, let's see if this thing works. You wouldn't do that with any medicine the doctor prescribed. He said, it won't kick in for 30 days. You got to keep taking this. You'd do it in faith, believing. Get two or three scriptures and say, it is written. It is written. It is written. AI is a great cheat for the church. All you got to do is say, what scriptures, and then describe your situation. And artificial intelligence will say, here's three, you know, it'll give you some scriptures. We used to have to go through a concordance and try to figure out because we didn't know. AI is a great cheat. You got everything you need. You got the Word of God. We love you. Appreciate you. Wasn't this wonderful today? Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Thank you. Hallelujah. All the glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, could you one more time? Huh? If you want, you can be dismissed, but if you want to hear, I bless your name one more time. Hallelujah. An encore before we leave here. You can be seated. Hallelujah. And then we'll leave because I, you know, it's only 12:03 and you were expecting to be here till 1 o'clock, right? I don't know when we might get her back, but we're going to do it again, right?
Sure. Sometime.
Hallelujah. Yeah. All right. I put Harry on the spot. He'll have to find that. If you need to leave, Kevin is walking now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Denise. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
Praise you, Jesus. Such a good message. Thank you, Bubba.
In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night. Reach out and pray.
and they will fall in Jesus' name. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name. We give you honor, Lord. We give you praise. You are the life, truth, and way. And we bless your name.
Prayer tonight at 6 o'clock, and amen. We'll see you. Praise God. Blessings.
Thank you, sir. This is my worship.